kind of short on time, but I'm glad to be here, and I thank Miss Laura for taking her time to help an old man sing. It shows you that the young and old can work together. 16 and 82.
I'll take it. holy Golgotha stood across with my Lord raised to the sky. And oh, he'll there live forever, as all the saved can testify. I'm so glad to be
is our Statue of Liberty. I hope that you have met the Lord Jesus Christ there personally in your life by faith in what he did on Calvary. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. We've seen God bless America, and he has in so many ways there. He's blessed us economically. We certainly, if you've been listening to the news there with Greece and all of what's been going on with their finances and troubles, many have lost their savings, retirement, etc., that is going on there. God has blessed our military. God has blessed us with technology. God has blessed us with the comfort of living here and the ease of living in the United States. Even of the poorest citizens in the United States have it much better than many other people in this world. And indeed, it is a great nation to live in, that because God has blessed us in so many ways. But there are many more areas of blessing that we could attribute to and speak about. But what I want us to see this morning is four basic reasons why God blessed America. Not just to understand the whys of God blessing America, but also these coincide with personal areas of application for our own lives. So I want you to listen carefully as we go through these. Father, right now we pause and we ask, because we acknowledge that we can do nothing apart from you, that you through your Holy Spirit would empower and guide me to be able to speak very clearly the truths that you've laid upon my heart and what we're about to look at. Father, I pray that we would not only understand them, but we would make sure that they are present and applied into our lives this week. Thank you for what you will accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. And the first thing that I want you to see is why God blessed America, and it is because of her foundation. America is founded on the written Word of God. Her laws, her government, her leaders' hearts were influenced by the Word of God. Many of our founding fathers have the testimony that their personal faith in God and the influence of His Word was what was upon their mind as they laid out our government and our Constitution, etc. It's been attributed to Patrick Henry to have said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For that reason alone, people of other faiths have been afforded freedom of worship here." George Washington said this: "The propitious, that is, the satisfied or favorable smiles of heaven, in other words, God's blessings, can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. God indeed has blessed America for its foundation upon the Word of God, but as George Washington said there prophetically, I believe, as a nation gets away from that, and we are today, we can see less and less of God's blessing hand upon America. We can expect that. In application to us, though, as believers, we are to have our lives founded in God's Word as well. It is the written Word of God that tells us all about the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our lives founded upon Him in salvation, first of all, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only at the name of Jesus Christ. And so upon that foundation and faith in His finished work on Calvary, we can have our sins forgiven. And I hope today that you have confidence that you're standing in God's forgiveness because you have made a personal choice to receive what Jesus Christ did on Calvary to be your payment of sin. In 1 Corinthians 3:11 it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He is the only foundation. And on our lives as believers, our lives are to be founded then in our living practically upon the truth of God's Word. It is important to learn what the Bible says because you cannot do what you do not know. And it's God that has revealed Himself and what pleases Him in Scripture, and we are to learn that and we are to live that. And so our lives as believers are to be founded upon the written Word of God, the principles that it gives us for daily living. The closer America stays to the principles of God's Word, the more God will be blessing her. And the closer we as believers stay founded upon the Word of God in our lives, the more we can expect God's blessings upon us as well. The second reason why God blessed America is because of her preservation. Excuse me, her association. Here in Genesis 12, I want you to see her association with the Jews. Notice in verse 2 and 3 is the Abrahamic covenant that God gave with, of course, Abraham. And He says, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee." And this is the Jews that He's talking about, and the nation of Israel, ultimately. "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." How? "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Notice it says and answers the question there, how is God going to make Israel, His descendants there, a blessing? He says, "I will bless them that bless you." In other words, those nations that stand with Israel and for Israel, God says, "I will bless you." And those nations that stand against Israel, God says, "I will curse them. I will judge them." And so as America stands with Israel and for Israel, God will bless America for that reason. But as America makes decisions to distance itself from the Jewish people, I believe we will see more and more of God's hand of blessing being removed for that judgment. So it's important to understand that. This applies to us in our proper associations with God's people. Christians, believers. The importance of it is seen in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, where it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Who is the they? Well, it is the first church in the New Testament that was started there on the day of Pentecost as Peter preached and many came to know Christ as Savior. And they were baptized, and they were added unto the church. And He says there are four things that they continued to do. They continued in the doctrine, that is, the teachings. We can understand that's important. They continued in prayers. We do that as well there. Have prayer meeting on every Wednesday night, and we have prayers throughout all of our services. We emphasize it. They continued there in the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper that we're going to observe at the end of the service this morning. And then the other thing, which was in second in order, they continued in fellowship. That is, they had things in common there in communing with one another. And so that fellowship was important. It's exemplified in Psalm 119, verse 63, as the psalmist wrote there. It says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. And so it is important for us to have that companionship with those that are saved, with those that are keeping God's word. There is a warning, though, that is given to us about this kind of fellowship in a wrong way. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, but be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion, again, that's talking about fellowship there, hath light with darkness? In other words, if I am a believer and I am seeking to walk with the Lord and for the Lord and stand for Him, then I am to be seeking to have my close friendships and fellowships with those of believers. But if I, and you evaluate your own lives, if you as a believer have close, intimate fellowship with lost people as your best friends, they get along fine with you, there's something wrong there. Because Jesus says there that the world hated Him before it ever hated you. And He says there that as an explanation. The world is not going to accept us. If we're living for the Lord Jesus Christ and we're speaking up in the gospel to those that are lost around us, they may be friends of ours, but they're not going to want to hang around us very much because our lives make them feel uncomfortable and our words is not something they always want to hear. And so it's important for us to realize that while we can have friends that are lost, that our close friendships, our closest of friendships, will not necessarily be of this world unless we're not really living and speaking what we should be for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for us as believers then to develop close relationships with other godly Christians that are seeking to live for the Lord. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. And that's what some people are today. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What does that mean? The word communications there is a communing part that it's talking about, fellowshipping or associating. Evil associations corrupt good morals is what the word means. In other words, you hang around the wrong people, it's going to affect your walk with the Lord in a negative way. God says it, not just this preacher here. And so He says there, don't be deceived. Some people can say, hey, I can do it, it won't bother me. God says, you're deceiving your own self. Be careful to listen to what God says. You can be a friend to this world, and you can be a witness to this world, and you want to. God has told us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. But I guarantee you, as you go into the lost, and you begin to speak to them about their salvation and about their eternal life, either they will get saved, or they want to get away from you some. They may be polite, but some will even reject you right out. We need to be careful to understand how we are to associate with those that are true believers. The third reason God blessed America, not only for foundation and association, but also for her preservation. America preserves the right to worship free, at least for now. The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The separation of church and state has nothing to do with us separating from the world. It has everything to do with the government keeping its hands off of the church. Amen. That's the only reason it was ever put in the Constitution, in the amendment there of the Constitution. No state church and no hindrance of your choice to worship. In application to us, we are to preserve the right to worship by exercising the right to worship. You've heard the statement before, use it or lose it. If you do not exercise your right to worship, it becomes in your mind not very important. And anything that is not very important to you, you don't really mind losing it. And so if we do not cherish the opportunity that we have to gather and to be here and to worship the Lord, we really won't stand to fight for it if it comes under attack. We need to preserve it, our right to worship free, by exercising our right to worship free. God commanded in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, the Lord Jesus Christ's return. We are to be in God's house. And then the last reason that we see that God blessed America was for her direction. What determined the direction that America would take as a government, as a nation? What governed, what influenced the making of her laws, etc.? What determined right and wrong? And the answer is God's Word, which is right out of the mind of God Himself. God is the one that determined what's right and wrong. God is the one that influenced them to be able to write our laws. And as I said earlier, when America starts taking the opinion of people and then going and making the laws based on what opinion, popular opinion is, we're drifting from that which is right in Scripture, and we're just doing whatever men think is right in their own minds. And that's brought judgment from the very beginning. So we need to understand how that works. And God has blessed America for her direction, which was given by God's Bible, God's Word, and God Himself. Our direction as believers should be Bible-guided as well. Our goals, our purpose, our method of behavior, and therefore the decisions that we make ought to be rooted and grounded right here in God's Word. That is where the importance is. Wednesday night I shared a devotional with our people concerning walking with God in fellowship dealing with there. And it involved there an aspect of agreement. It comes out of Amos 3:3 where it asks the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? And if we are going to walk with the Lord, we have got to be in agreement with at least three areas, three things. We have got to be in agreement with a place that we're headed. We've got to be in agreement with a path that we're going to take. And we've got to be in agreement with the pace, the speed at which we're going to walk in order to walk with Him in fellowship. The place that we talked about there is God's goal for us. Where are we going? Where does God want us to go? Again, he reveals it right here. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize. There is a goal. There is a guided goal in the Scripture that is given that God wants us to be. And we need to be pursuing that with all of our might. There is a path, a method of getting there. It's not just whatever you want to do and however you want to do it, but God gives us direction as well as how to get there. How do we get and why do we do the things that we do? And then the same pace, the same timing as God has for it. You know, sometimes we want to run and get ahead of God in our lives, and we need to be patient to wait upon Him. Sometimes we're sitting around and God wants us to get up and move because we're not following Him as close as we should. But our place, our goal, our method of getting there and our timing should be tied to the Lord. And how do we do that? By having the mind of God or the mind of Christ, knowing that together in unity. It comes right here from Scripture. Psalm 119:105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It guides us step by step. Whether you are a young person, whether you're an adult, whether you're retired, whether you're a mom or dad, it does not matter. God has a goal. God has a method of getting there. He has a timing, and He reveals it step by step in His Word if we'll take the time to search it out and to seek Him. It's been said that America is great because America is good. It is godly in the sense of being founded in on the Word of God, its association, its preservation, and its direction. But when America stops being good, America stops being great. But the same thing can be said for you and I as believers. When we as believers stop looking at God's will and God's way in His Word, we stop living that, God removes His hand of blessing from our lives as well. We need to understand, in order to receive God's blessing, we need to be following Him, pressing toward the mark that He has for us. Are you doing what you know God wants this morning? Also note and understand this, just because you're facing trials doesn't necessarily mean that God's judgment is upon you. You remember Job, in Job 23:10, it says, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." That's blessing. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul wrote, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." How long did that light affliction last in his life? All of it. But it was only a moment compared to eternity. He says, "For this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." That's the blessing, even after and through the trial. Also, we can even be blessed when we have sinned and God has to chasten us, correct us. In Job 5:17, he says, "Behold, happy or blessed is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." We need to understand that in all of these things, there's possibility of blessing if we turn and seek Him through His Word. That is where the blessings come. Have you been missing God's blessing in your life today, Christian, because of sin? You've allowed it to creep into your life and you've not turned from it. God tells us that we are to turn, that's repent, and confess genuinely what we have done with a desire not to repeat, and He will forgive and He will bless. We can start back walking with the Lord where we left off. I hope that you will do that as we remember our citizenship is in heaven. We live in a blessed country, but we look for a city whose foundation is not on this world. Amen. Every head bow, please. As we think about what God has done for our nation, we can be thankful. But as we think about what God has done for us as people in the sending of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary in our place as a substitute, so that the payment of our sin could be made. And all we need to do is by faith believe, first of all, that we need it, that we're sinners. Believe that He died there for us. And because of that, by faith, make a choice to receive what He did on Calvary as our payment of sin. John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have, believer, is God blessing in your life because of the positive things that we saw this morning? Or are there some areas of your life that you're stubbornly holding on to, that God would have to say, "I cannot bless because of that area"? Seek the Lord. Ask Him to touch your heart. In just a moment, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And one of the warnings that God gives us there is not to partake of it in an unworthy manner. I preached about it last Sunday. And it means simply that we look into our lives. Let a man examine himself, it says. And if God reveals any sin, then we are to repent and confess it and then partake of the Lord's Supper so that we do not come upon His judgment even in this act of remembrance. Father, I pray that every one of us would make sure both of our salvation, and if we are sure of that we're saved, that we make sure that we're walking with You in fellowship. Let there be nothing between us in sin. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 320.